Welcome to The Scoop, brought to you by Indeed, your weekly dose of internal talent news from here and around the globe. So grab your popcorn and open your mind as I hand you over to our anchors from Tarpod, Lauren Sharp and Craig Watson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Scoop. I'm Craig.
And I'm Craig.
No, you're not quite. You're Lauren.
Okay, I'm Lauren.
Do you know what? I really, really want to apologize to you and everyone listening because it is the most boring fucking news week in the history of talent acquisition and recruitment news.
So you say this before we've even done it.
Would that mean that people might tune out before they even listen? No, because we've got a surprise at the end. Is that good?
Oh, hey, yes.
Just say that.
So it's actually not a boring news week because the surprise at the end is so
it's gonna be well worth it.
It is a surprise that everyone, the prize of the surprise.
It is. Do you want me to go first or would you like to go first?
You can knock yourself out, Tiger.
Okay. I've got one from the Daily Mail, my favourite source of news.
I was going to say that's always up there with Piers Morgan.
Public servant wins landmark case to only come into the office one day a week. So a public servant's won a landmark work from home legal fight, meaning he'll only have to come into the office one day a week. Daniel Hume is a Queensland-based health worker for Queensland Health. And he applied to work entirely from home in March 2021, claiming it made him more productive and enabled him to spend more time with his family. After a senior director denied his request, saying he should come to the office 2 days a week one week and 3 days a week the next week, he engaged in a legal fight to overturn the decision and he won. So Queensland Health took that matter to the state's industrial court, taking the position that spending more days in the office helps workers switch off after work and avoid a sedentary lifestyle. They also argued Mr. Hume needed to have face-to-face interactions as part of his job as a manager.
That's fair.
But the industrial court deputy president threw out Queensland Health's appeal this month, saying the decision handed down earlier by QIRC was correct. So old mate, and then do you know what? Old mate who won, what's his name again? Daniel Hume, he quit as soon as the result came through. So I don't know. I think he was just doing it for fun.
What was the fucking point?
Yeah, I know. But interestingly, I don't know whether that opens a can of worms throughout particularly Queensland and perhaps the rest of Australia on people saying, well, working from home makes me better, so I'm going to do it.
Well, I think it could go either way here. I think you're going to see a lot of companies, if this is going to be the case, to say, when you join our company, we do not have a working from home policy.
Yeah, and sign it in your employment contract.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. They're just going to go back old school where – like I know we had a policy if you were going to work from home, you had to pre-arrange it with your manager. Mm. You couldn't just make the call on the day, otherwise you were required in the office.
I struggle that a health worker is able to work from home. How were they
– clearly he was not a frontline person.
No, a manager.
But also as a manager, don't you want to meet your team and be around your team and that's how you lead?
Oh, Daniel didn't.
Apparently not.
No.
And then he quit.
He did.
The fact that he went through all of that and quit, that annoys me.
It does. I wonder whether he got a payout or something or some sort of compensation and then just went over to Bali and it's working from there now or something.
Who freaking knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? But anyway, job seekers asking more questions about gender pay gap after the Wajir data. And this is coming from the Fin Review. So they interviewed a few different recruitment agency people and a couple of internals as well. And they asked, they actually asked quite a few if the pay gap, gender pay gap that were published is affecting a candidate's behaviour in the labour market. And some of them were actually saying that questions are beginning to come through.
Interesting.
About a company's pay gap, if they have one, people are looking it up. It's
interesting and yet not surprising.
No, not surprising at all. And I'm going to be really keen to hear how companies are going to handle these questions, and especially as TA people, because we're the ones on the front line who are probably going to get the first lot of these questions. So be interesting to see what comms are coming through. Mm. And if anyone out there is finding this a lot as time goes on, because it's not long since this has happened, let us know. We're very keen to see what your comms are, how you've got to position it. And if you don't have a pay gap, clearly it's an easy question to answer. But if you do.
Well, it's a great comm to go out. We've got no pay gap. Put it in all of your bloody adverts. Do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But if you have, how is your company communicating it for possible new employees?
And even those who are there, who might be asking the question of, okay, we've got a 40% pay gap. How does that affect you as a woman individually?
Yeah.
Are they doing something about it?
There's a lot of EVP stuff going to come out, you know, over this, isn't there?
I absolutely agree.
My next one is in a similar sort of vein or often the same topic. Over half of Australian women have never asked for a pay rise.
It doesn't surprise me.
According to new research by global hiring platform and our partner Indeed, over half, that's 54% of Australian women have never asked for a pay rise, with a third, 33%, saying it's because they fear there will be negative consequences. The study revealed the tremendous work required to achieve equality in remuneration, career progression, and gender parity in leadership. Women have long fought to achieve fair pay in the global workforce, yet nearly half of Australian women still believe they are not paid enough in their current position, with 50% stating their overarching compensation package is too low. The report takes a fascinating deep dive into Australian women's participation in the workforce, and we will put the link in our show notes for anyone to read that. And it's interesting that, you know, I think that the WGEA stuff has really driven some surveys and some data in other areas, and it'll continue to drive it. So it's great.
It's interesting to see, too, how many companies who fly very close to an award paying about those numbers, and then they set and forget, and they don't go back. I was doing some work recently with a client, and they basically set and forget 5 or 6 years ago and haven't given anyone pay rise for 5 or 6 years. Their people are now underpaid. They're under the award. There's a whole entire opening of a Pandora's box there.
You're saying this, I mean, I know when you're talking about award, then you were talking about pay and things like that. I was just thinking, with the ITAs coming up, are people in some of their submissions going to lean into their data that's positive on this side? They should, if they've got positive data.
Are you just thinking out loud again?
I am.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell anyone, like your bank password while you're at it?
If I could remember it, I would.
Well, actually, I think there's a few people in the office the other day when you were telling everyone. So why don't you just give them a call? Now, oddly enough, in the podcast on Monday, I mentioned about talking about superannuation on parental leave and the 12 months off. And then a day after we recorded that, guess what gets announced?
What gets announced?
Well, apparently we're getting superannuation on your parental leave.
Fantastic.
So now I went onto the ATO site and pulled the info off there after reading it in a few different publications. So they have announced, the federal government has announced that where the government will pay a superannuation guarantee equivalent payment on the government-funded parental paid leave scheme.
Well, that's great news, isn't it?
That's the government one. It's not making it mandatory for companies to do it if the companies are
paying the parental leave.
Yeah, so this is going to be kicking in on the 1st of July in 2025.
Does that mean
we're still a year away from this happening.
Does that mean people on parental leave will probably encourage their own companies not to pay it and to get it from the government?
Well, the government only pays the equivalent. They don't pay your wage.
And they pay minimum, don't they?
Yeah, they don't pay your wage. So they're going to be paying the equivalent of what the dole is, I think. So it's not exactly always the best way to go. But then on top of that, the WA government has announced that it will be paying superannuation on unpaid parental leave starting in July this year. So starting in July, WA government is going to extend the payment of superannuation on unpaid parental leave up to 24 weeks for all public sector employees. Now, that's what I was trying to get at when we were doing the podcast with Simone and Natalie. And it's not so much about paying it on top of, because I honestly, I didn't know that you didn't get it on top of this paid parental leave. It's not about getting it just that. It's about getting it for that whole entire 12 months that you have the right to take off while you're not being paid, getting the equivalency of what your super would have been for that year.
All right. Okay.
So that's like the 12%. So say, let's put mathematical reasons for your brain, Craig. So if you're getting paid 100K and you get that 10% super, you get that 10% into your super all year, even if you're not getting paid your salary.
Well, that's good you explain it, because it confused me a bit, because when you said you're getting paid super on non-paid parental leave, I was thinking, ooh, what's 10% of nothing? But they're assuming that you're getting paid, but they're just paying the super component.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're not getting paid, because the paid parental scheme does not cover the whole time that you're off, that you will get the super for the rest of the time
that you're off anyway.
So that's what I think is really necessary, because it's that's when we're falling down in 20 to 30 years' time when we don't have the super in our accounts and taking time off.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Hey, from HR Exec magazine, talent
Hold on a second. You read a magazine that's got exec in it?
Yeah. It was tough reading. I had to really dumb it down for myself. But anyway, talent acquisition teams need to get closer to L&D. So we're hearing a lot this year about skills-based hiring and internal mobility growing priorities for HR. So talent acquisition teams are increasingly concerned with their organizations' learning and development opportunities. It's a shift fueling a greater demand for stronger partnerships between TA and L&D. So, in fact, according to research from LinkedIn, 85% of TA professionals expressed a desire for greater collaboration with L&D teams. Driving this interest is 90% of executives across the globe who are leaning in to skills-based hiring, both internally and externally, to bolster their workforce. They are thinking that it'll help them compete in a tight labour market. So with candidates craving learning opportunities when looking for new roles, TA have recognised that businesses need to get better at promoting and offering training internally. I told you it was a boring news week.
But that's always a good sell though, because I know when I used to work for cyber and I was there for ages, that was one of the sells that I did with our candidates, because everyone had a training budget up to whatever. Yeah. And you could use it or not use it. It's up to you if you want to go off and do more SAP certifications or what you wanted to do with that training. If it was approved by management, you can go and do it. Well, like some of these guys, like these certifications, they cost like $12,000-$13,000.
And it's a non-monetary incentive for someone to take a role, right? If your career is being supplemented in training to get you better, whether you stay or go somewhere else, a lot of people will look at that and take it into consideration when they're moving careers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and I think it's definitely something that you need to look at. Mm. But now, last week, the world went down.
The world went – yes, I think I know where you're headed here.
Oh,
it was horrible. It was horrible.
So for approximately just over an hour, LinkedIn, the whole network was gone, and it was a global outage.
It was – and it hurt.
Oh, my gosh. We woke up to no LinkedIn. It was already happening around the world. Yeah. So the headline on The Verge was LinkedIn confirmed a significant outage on Wednesday afternoon, where it was Thursday morning here, when the job-focused social network showed visitors error messages. So this all happened a day after Meta's network went offline for a little bit, and LinkedIn was inaccessible around the world, cutting off job listing resumes and, God forbid, even the influencers.
Oh, no.
No. So it was about just over an hour, they reckon it was down.
So what did every TA professional globally do in that 1 hour?
I think they messaged each other on Facebook. What the fuck's going on? But that's how I thought, okay, I got up, I logged in, breakfast was cooking. What's going on here? Refresh. And then I jumped on Facebook and I was on Recruiting Brain Food, and someone had taken a photograph of their screen and popped it on going, is anyone else getting this? And they were in the States, and then they literally just posted, and I went, yeah, I'm down, I'm in Australia. And then someone in Paris chimed in, and then someone else chimed in from somewhere else in the world. So it was a big issue.
They haven't reported what happened.
Why? And I've read a couple of articles, but it was they acknowledged the down about 4 p.m. Eastern time in the US, but reports were coming to about 3:45.
It's interesting how much as an industry we rely on LinkedIn, because no one knew what to do. Like I was in LinkedIn and it was perfect, and I was actually in it as it went down. So then I went to post something and I got that error message, and obviously I thought it was me, so I refreshed, and then I jumped on Rubber Band and asked a question, and a little bit late, you know, probably 20 seconds later it came back, yeah, I can't get in either. So then I realised it wasn't me, but I didn't think it would have been worldwide. I would have thought it would have been confined to a server somewhere locally.
Server. Yeah, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, no good. No good.
It goes to show though, earlier in the year, we had the Optus outage last year, and that affected 10 million people. So 2/5 of the Australian population had no internet or phone service.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
So it just goes to show we are relying on our technology more and more every single day to do basic things.
Yeah. Hey.
Events.
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 All righty then. You just take us off there, Tiger.
Okay. Well, I'll start off with the ATC, which hopefully people who've been listening will know.
It is in the freaking calendar already. It is. I cannot wait.
14th and 15th of October in Melbourne for the first time. So really just save the date. It's in Fed Square, so be there. But just save the date. Early bird tickets are going to be on sale very, very soon and you want to snap them up.
Ooh, I can't wait. I cannot wait. And I only have to travel down the road this time.
I know. Don't have to get on a plane, which is worse on the way home because after a couple of days of learning and partying, getting on a plane ain't much fun.
No. Planes, trains and automobiles, mate. But, okay, speaking of that, we have Adelaide Recruitment Meetup is on the 11th of April.
Woo!
So get your tickets for that one and let everyone know you're going because we are.
Yeah, we're going. I can't wait.
I know.
Cannot wait.
Adelaide will be so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Sydney Talent Meetup is on the 27th of March, just before Easter in Sydney. Craig will be there.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one probably even more because I'm going by myself.
Do I dare ask, is that to get away from your work wife or your real wife or both of us?
Column A, column B.
Bit of A and B on that one. Okay. And I've got another one here. Now, Nat Flynn and Steve Gard have still got their breakfast road shows that are happening this month. They've already covered off Brizzy and Perth. They are in Melbourne next week on the 19th of March, Sydney on the 20th, and then Adelaide on the 27th. So jump on their LinkedIn pages and QR yourself into those. Food and learnings.
Yum, 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 and learnings for your brain and your tum.
Oh, no. Okay, so Craig.
Yes.
The big surprise.
I don't know how much of a surprise it is.
Do you have a drum roll? No.
Well, that too. Anyway, ITAS. ITAS tickets are on sale early bird. And the date is September 5th in sunny Melbourne, back at the Plaza Ballroom. It is going to go off. And every year, and I know we say this all the time, but every year it sells out and it sells out way prior to the event. So jump on, get your tickets, get the discounted early bird price, and then chill out and relax until September.
Well, you can actually go dress shopping.
Well, yes, you can prepare in other ways, but you don't have to worry about tickets. If you get them now, you don't have to worry about them.
Well, that's very true. So jump on. It's on Humanity because we've gone through that website again because it is a not-for-profit organisation. So they actually give all of their profits to children charities in Australia.
Yep, and you can reach it by internaltalentawards.com. Yes. You can get there by our website. So jump on, get your tickets and
So obviously, the Smart Recruiters are back platinum sponsor again this year. XRef Teeny, if it didn't bite you in the bum last year, it's going to do it this year.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah.
It's many surprises on the night too.
Oh, there's so many surprises.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and we will sell out. You all know we do. So any ticketing issues, contact me. Craig doesn't have a fucking clue.
No idea. No idea. And on that note, this week, it's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.